with perseverance the race marked out for you. Keep going. And so if you are a follower of Jesus, you're in a race. But when we open up 2 Timothy, there's a bit of a twist, because as we've seen already in the reading and the kids' talk, this race idea is developed into the idea of a relay race, where there's this team of runners, there's the baton, and the baton needs to be passed from one to the next until the finishing line. And so whatever else is happening in that race, if the baton is not passed on, then that's it. It's done. You're out of the race. You've been disqualified. So this thing in my hand that I have needs to get into your hand. But it's not automatic. That doesn't just happen. And if for whatever reason that baton is not passed on, the race is over, you haven't won, you've been disqualified, and so on. Time and again we've seen at the biggest events, it's why we sort of get on the edge of our seats at these times, it doesn't matter how good the runners are, if you fumble the baton, that's it. No chance of the gold medal. 9-time Olympic gold medalist Carl Lewis was raging last year at what he called a clown show as he looked at the US 4x100 metres relay team, who are highly credentialed, super fast athletes. They didn't even qualify for the finals at Tokyo last year because they bungled the passing of the baton. It's a clown show. And this relay race we're in as followers of Jesus has the good news of Jesus as this baton that we're to pass forwards. And so our big idea this morning is simply this: the good news is meant to be passed on. It says something, doesn't it, about the goodness of any good news when you step back and examine how enthusiastically and energetically you sort of share that news, how it's passed on. You know, if it's really good news, it's like, boom, I've got to share that. I've got to tell someone. Wow, have you heard? You've got to press share and like and all, you know, you've got to spread it around. It's natural. And that is what is to be done with the best news of all, the news about Jesus. And so this sermon today is to give us a clear focus for this year, with big stuff happening all around us all through the year, lots of potential for distraction and so on. And so throughout this year, and onwards in fact, but throughout this year, but in particular, I want all of us to remember every single day that as followers of Jesus Christ who are part of this church here at the Christian Reformed Church of Kingston, that there is a baton in our hand. And that baton is the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Good news of a Savior. God Himself. God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who uniquely gave Himself to make right what we've made so wrong, who through dying on a cross took God's righteous judgment against all of the sin and the rubbish and the awful stuff in this world and in our lives as well. And He's replaced that awful, fearful existence with life that is really life, that Jesus, having risen again to new life, gives everyone who believes in Him that new life full of joy and peace and marvelous things, a life of love. So every follower of Jesus has that in their hand. It's worth considering, how did that come to be? Well, it was passed on to us, wasn't it? So our first point, let's see that the good news of Jesus has come to us. It's been passed on to us. We have it here and now in this church. Praise God. Right? Praise God. This church has been here for 70 years. Not this building. Hasn't been here anything like as long as 70 years. But this church, this gathering of God's people. We've got a cake to mark that milestone for afterwards. We've got Taya Vandeneet and Rebecca Van Tol here with us who signed something important that said something about what this church, as it began 70 years ago, was about. And they're still going on strong. And here are other generations and other people who God has brought in to join. 70 years on, this church is still here, and by the grace of God, here we are still gathered together around the grace of God in the good news of Christ. It's been passed onwards. It's been passed down the generations. Generations before us have had the gospel in their hand and they've passed it on to the next, which is all part of what we see, isn't it, in 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you've got a Bible there, have a look at it. I think it'll be up on the screen. But have a look at verse 3. I thank God whom I serve, Paul says to Timothy, but I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience. Verse 5, as he talks about Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, Timothy, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Each generation of followers of Jesus holds the baton of the good news of Jesus, and the clear implication here, at least in these scriptures, is that the sincere faith of which Paul speaks and which lives in Timothy was transmitted down through successive generations, at least in part. We only know of Paul and Timothy talking about that. There may be many other family members, but at least in part, you see. And it's kind of fitting, isn't it, that verse 5 covers, as it happens, about 70 years of intergenerational passing on of the baton. Grandparents, parents, children. We'll come back to that. But it doesn't just happen. It's not automatic. As we were sharing about this stuff as staff earlier this week, Paul, the pastor, not the apostle, flagged a very troubling verse from Judges, the book of Judges in the Old Testament. Joshua has led God's people who have just been freed from slavery. They're going towards the promised land. Joshua's leading them into the promised land, and they've already found a way to disobey God. And they're weeping and so on, and then they sort of get dismissed, and God's no longer going to go with them in the same way that he'd promised, but they can still go. And so they go to take possession of the land, and then we read this in Judges chapter 2, verse 10. After that, whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors. Another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he'd done for Israel. That's a disaster, isn't it? And so the question is, why did they not know the Lord or what he'd done for Israel? And it seems like the answer is that the baton got dropped heavily. A generation that knew the Lord and what he'd done failed to pass it on. And that was that. Well, thank God it wasn't just that, because God provided in other ways. I remember hearing this, and it always stayed with me. The first generation believes the gospel. The next generation that comes after them can just assume the gospel because it's just been part of their life. The generation after them questions the gospel because it hasn't had the same level of existence in their lives as the first generation. And then the next generation rejects the gospel. Now, given the overall statistics of the Christian faith and churches and so on around the world and around our nation and even within our own denomination, it should make us ask the question as to whether that is what is happening right now. Whether we're fumbling the baton. And as we think about that, I want us to be thankful, I think, here. Because in our hands, at least, as it were, today, at least in what I'm saying and what I'm trying to share with you, is the gospel, the good news about Jesus. Because it's come to us. It's brought us to this point here by God's great faithfulness. through grandparents and parents and uncles and aunties and friends and neighbors and countless others who in cooperation with God, the Holy Spirit, have been instrumental in that being passed on by the grace of God. And so back to the relay race. The gospel has come to us and we've got it. And if we have got it, praise God. Give thanks to him. Great is his faithfulness. But a few things can still happen, can't they? What could happen? We could drop the baton. Or just imagine the scene in a relay where the runner's approaching the next teammate. He's got the baton in the hand. The teammate's waiting, you know, like Thomas was saying, with his good technique. Just got to get that baton. The teammates, they're waiting and so on. And suddenly the runner with the baton goes veering off the track and jogs over to the refreshment stand, shoves that baton in his back pocket and forgets they're in the race. Well, you're not going to see that in the Olympic Games, I hope. The baton just doesn't get passed on, though. Whoever had the baton has moved on from that. It's not no longer a cause or a priority in their life. Something else has distracted them. And that's a tragedy, because if the good news of Jesus has come to us, and I know it has for so many, and I pray it has for all of us. That's my big prayer and our big prayer together. If it's come to us, secondly, the good news of Jesus cannot just end with us. It cannot end with us if we have this good news in our hands and in our hearts. Now, you've heard of the Dead Sea, haven't you? Got a bit of a picture up here. It's a bit small, but down at the bottom is the Dead Sea. That's the larger blue thing. And there's a blob at the top, which is a blue thing. That's the Sea of Galilee. The Dead Sea is at the end point of the Jordan River system. And its shoreline is the lowest land-based elevation on our planet. It's 430 metres below sea level. Now, the reason it's the Dead Sea is because it's incredibly salty. And the reason that it's incredibly salty is that while water flows into it from the Jordan River system, nothing flows out of it. It just sits there in its hot desert scenario. And this environment that causes evaporation, which then leaves just mineral deposits, including all of this saltiness. And so it's great for holiday pics down the bottom there. You can lie in it and read your paper and so on, and you just float. But there's no life in it. It even looks quite amazing there at the bottom left there. But there's no life in it. It's dead. Compare then the Sea of Galilee, which is 100 kilometres to the north, which is fed by the upper Jordan River and itself feeds the lower Jordan River. And the Sea of Galilee has absolutely stacks of life in it. Why is that? Because that life flows through it. It takes in and it gives out. It flows. It cannot get stagnant. It won't just evaporate and dry up. It flows. Now, how much life and goodness the good news of Jesus brings to us? It's like an enormous river of blessings, isn't it? And it pours into our lives. Paul can say to Timothy, verse 9 and 10, this grace that he's talking about was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it's now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, the river just pouring into our lives with these glorious things. It's like this great life-giving river, and Timothy's grandmother was sort of caught up in it, but it went through her into Timothy's mother. They're like the Sea of Galilee, life coming in and life going out, pouring that life into Timothy. And look at the language there in verse 5. Paul says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and it lived in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. It's life. And so what a disaster if that ends. What a tragedy if Timothy is a dead sea. All that life just evaporates away and leaves nothing but deadness. Maybe impressive to look at. It's got no life in it. What about Paul? If he were like a dead sea, he wouldn't even have written this letter, would he, for a start? But he does. And then later on, in chapter 4, he seems to be talking the language of retirement. He says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Chapter 4, verse 7. Just waiting now for the crown from Jesus on the last day. Has he finished, though? No, he hasn't. He goes on to ask for his scrolls and his parchments. Bring them with you when you come. Why? Because I want to keep working. I want to keep writing letters. I want to keep encouraging people. I'm dipping hard at the line. As he finishes the race, because the good news is meant to be passed on always. It's as a church here with a great representation of generations, different generations. There's much for us to reflect on here, isn't there? It's actually inspirational for us to think about the opportunities that we have. But what looms large is this question. What have we passed on? What are we passing on? Because here's where the picture changes. We're in a straight-up relay race. There's only one thing to pass on, one baton in this relay from one generation to the next. The question now becomes, have we got the right baton to pass onwards? Because the reality is, we're passing something on. We're passing something on. Always. We know in our families we have different ways of thinking. We have different histories and backstories. We have values and convictions and traditions and behaviors and attitudes and so on. And these things, to some extent, get passed down and onwards. But that's true of how we think of the gospel in those scenarios as well, in those families. It's how we think and talk about Jesus. If Jesus then is not good news to me, then why would he be good news to my family? In that instance, I need someone else to pass on the baton of the good news to them, and actually to me, to remind me. Which is actually the opportunity that we have as a church, isn't it? We're a big family, a spiritual family, together being encouraged in the truths and the convictions and the values and the character of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's for, Australia. That's what the church is for. Designed to equip us and encourage us in passing on the baton of the good news of Jesus Christ. And designed, in God's grace, to fight against the possibility of the good news of Jesus ending with us. And that in itself is good news for all of us. Whether you think you've dropped this baton or whether you're more pumped than ever to be in this relay race, that's good news for us today. Whether you're the oldest here or the youngest, it's good news for us all. But it hinges on this conviction for us. Whether you are convinced that Jesus is actually good news. See, if Jesus is not good news to you, then the issue is not with him, right? The issue is how we're looking at him. And the outcome still remains. But instead of good news, we may have made Jesus bad news, which would be a disaster, wouldn't it? He was irrelevant to our lives. He got in the way of the things we really wanted to do. We were half-hearted and lukewarm at best. It's a challenge, isn't it? What are we passing on? Because if we've understood what the good news of Jesus is, it cannot end with us. And so with that in mind, let's focus now on passing onwards the good news of Jesus. So firstly, pass onwards the good news of Jesus as good news. We got to do that. It is good news. How good is the good news of Jesus to you? Does he blow your mind with what he's done, with how he's treated you, with what he's said about you, with what he's done for you? Is Jesus who you make much of? Is Jesus even part of the conversation? Does our thankfulness overflow from you? Has the good news of Jesus really come to you? Have you received that baton? Because no one's going to accept Jesus as good news from us if Jesus isn't good news for us. Pass onwards also what the good news of Jesus is. Paul can say to Timothy in verse 13, what you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching. So it includes sound teaching, words, ideas, knowledge, not make it up as you go along, but the gospel is a message about things that are gloriously true, statements you've heard, statements that you now believe. You're more sinful than and wretched than you could ever grasp, but you're more loved by God in Jesus Christ than you could ever fully comprehend. But you can't pass on the good news if you don't know what the good news is. And surely you must have known this good news if you've received this good news. So do you know it? Well, if you do, brilliant. Know it some more. It is powerfully, richly, deep, and it touches everything. If you don't know it, get into it. We've got all sorts of ways we can help with that. We'd love to pass on that so that we know what the good news is. Good news cannot be less than words, but it is more than just words. So look again at verse 13. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Pass on then what the good news of Jesus does too. Paul has taught Timothy the truth, but Timothy has caught more than words and knowledge. Notice the faith and love in Jesus Christ. It's not just words that I've locked away. It's with the faith and love in Jesus Christ. We're in the race. Check. We got the baton. Check. Now we're coming up to the handover. And here's where the fumble can occur. And clearly we can't make anyone take the baton onwards. But we surely, as far as it depends on us, can show why the gospel is so good to take onwards. Our enthusiasm, our energy, our delight in Jesus. Fixing our eyes on him. That's all very well, Graham, but what about when we stuff up? When we fail, when we seemingly drop the baton? What about then? And I want to say, right at that point there is what I think the world needs to see most about the good news of Jesus. At the point when we fail and fall. Because everyone does, of course. We put on a little mask and a shield to help people think that we couldn't possibly fall, but the reality is we do. More than we care to admit. But the gospel of Jesus Christ always gives a glorious, gracious what next, doesn't it? There's grace instead of judgmentalism. There's hope and forgiveness instead of condemnation and cancellation. The gospel gave us all, didn't it? A what next that we absolutely didn't deserve? Life and immortality brought to light, even for me. And it brings hope when we fall and when we fail. The watching world sees Christians stuff up and cries hypocrite, as if we're going to be anywhere near the moral perfection that seems to be expected. We're not, are we? That's why we always needed the good news in the first place. Do people see that in our lives? Do we see that with each other in our lives together? The grace of the gospel being worked out. It's powerful. But pass onwards also the good news of Jesus to whoever is around. It's this magical relay race. You give the baton of the good news of Jesus away. That doesn't mean you've got rid of the baton. It's still there. Give it to someone else. Oh, it's still there. Give it to someone else. Oh, it's still there. Give it away. It's wonderful the way this race works out. As we think about the various generations represented here, this race is in view for all of us together. And it means that as we think about the next generation, it's this relay race that's in view. We've been talking about our need for a next generation worker, haven't we? For quite some time, we've been praying about that and so on. And so I want to do something quite astonishing that you didn't realise was going to happen this morning. See, this was a sort of a job interview for you. And so I want to appoint all of you here as next generation workers. Is that all right? You up for that? Congratulations. You got the job. Let's get into it. Spoiler, you've already been doing it, but now you're really thinking about it. So let's join in that together as a church this year. So, taught and caught, it's one thing to reflect. Thankfully, I'm pretty much done here, but I do want to just say this. It's good to reflect thankfully on 70 years. Of the past, of that history. It says 70 years of blessing on the cake, and it has been 70 years of blessing. That doesn't mean it's all been 70 years of easy. Doesn't mean the baton hasn't been dropped at times, but by God's grace, it's been picked up again. It's one thing to look at in that direction, but it's another thing to imagine and dream what will be here in 70 years' time. And that's where our eyes need to be and our hearts as we follow Christ. In 70 years' time, God willing, as for right now, do we not dream that we and subsequent generations will know the good news of Jesus Christ above all else? Is that not our compelling dream? Unsurprisingly, God is absolutely passionate about this good news being passed on. And so the last verse of our reading this morning, we read this: guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. This good deposit is the baton of the good news of Jesus Christ. And so how do you guard that good deposit that's been given to us? Yes, love it, absolutely, and live it, absolutely, but give it away, definitely. Pass it on, and God the Holy Spirit who lives in us will help. Isn't that great? Isn't that great to know? We'll be walking with the Spirit. Good news is meant to be passed onwards, especially the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, the Apostle Paul says. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Almighty God, please sear those words into our minds and our hearts. May they encourage and inspire, may they challenge and perhaps rebuke, but may we know your grace and may we know your empowering as we seek to be faithful in carrying on this race, this relay, where we've received this gospel baton and we want to pass it on. Help us to do that this year, and help us to remember that every day this year we're going to have opportunities to do exactly that. We ask it for your glory. Amen.